And boys and girls, did you know that God is able to guide us into the right place at the right time to meet the right person? Well, he did it for Abram's servant when he was sent to seek for a wife for Isaac. And in our story today, he did it again for Jacob this time when he went to seek a wife in the land of Syria, in Haran, and the Lord led him to a well. Now Jacob arrived at that well, and it was being used to water several flocks. Wells were meeting places where people talked and where they got to know each other. Jacob introduced himself to some men at the well, and he asked them, "Do you know a man called Laban?" And they said, "Oh yes, we know him very well. In fact, his daughter is coming right now with her sheep to water them right at this well." Aha! We must marvel at God's guidance, for as soon as Jacob arrived in the land of the east, he was truly in the right place at the right time to meet the right person. And of course, that was Rebekah, the young woman who was to become his wife. Now, as soon as Rachel came near to the well with her father's sheep, Jacob, he offered to draw water and to give them all the water that they needed. And by this, it was easy for him then to introduce himself to Rachel and to tell him that he was Jacob, the son of Rebekah, her auntie. Can you imagine? And so off she ran to tell her father Laban about Jacob being out there at the well. And Laban, what did he do? Well, immediately he went running off to meet with Jacob. And at that very time, Jacob greeted Laban kindly, and Laban greeted him kindly. In those days, they would give a hug and a kiss, and it would all be very courteous. And then Laban brought Jacob back to their home, introduced him to his family, and it was a beautiful and a wonderful meeting. Now, that was really a very sacred moment when God brought Jacob to the right place at the right time to meet the right person. And Christians can expect God to do these things for them because God is a God of design. Nothing happens by mistake. And if you are in the center of God's will, praying for God's guidance, you will also enjoy such marvelous moments when the Lord will lead you in a very definite way. Now, after meeting Jacob, as I said, Rachel ran off to tell her dad, and he was brought home. And Jacob stayed in the home of Laban for one full month. And during that time, he was a hard worker. He helped Laban in every way that he could. And I want to assure you, it greatly paid off. And it's always a good thing to be a hard worker, to use your hands and use your talents and your time doing things that will help others, because it really will open up doors of opportunity, as it did for Jacob. And Laban said to him at the end of that month, he said to him, "What shall I give you for your wages?" Well, that was Jacob's moment of opportunity. He had his eye upon Rachel. Now, Laban had two daughters. The eldest was Leah, the youngest was Rachel. And Rachel was the one that God led him to at the well. And she was also very beautiful. And so his heart was set upon her. And this was the moment that he took to ask Laban, "May I have Rachel to be my wife?" And Laban said, yes, if you're willing to work for her for 7 years. Well, that was some deal. But for the love of Rachel, those years seemed just as days, because his heart was set, full of delight, pondering the future life that he was going to have with Rachel. Now, this is where the story becomes interesting, because at the end of those 7 years, Jacob said to Laban, I've served my 7 years. It's time now for you to give me your daughter Rachel to be my wife. And Laban said, yes, it is. And so he called a family feast. It was like a marriage feast. And there was rejoicing and celebration. And it was a happy time for everyone. But Laban deceived Jacob. Instead of giving him Rachel, his youngest daughter, he gave to Jacob Leah, his older daughter. And she must have been wearing a veil, because Jacob doesn't seem to notice. And it wasn't until the next morning that he protested to Laban, why did you give me Leah? It was Rachel that I served for 7 years. And Laban, well, he made kind of an explanation. You might call it an excuse. And he said, well, it is not customary for a father to marry off his youngest daughter first. It's our custom that the oldest daughter be married first. And so poor Jacob had to accept that. But he said, if you work for another 7 years, then I will give you Rachel to be your wife. Well, in fact, they were married a week later. That was probably the length of the marriage feast. And he still had to work a further 7 years for his wife, Rachel. Now, that was a terrible deception. And that deception was a harsh reminder to Jacob that lies hurt. They do a lot of damage. Now you remember how Jacob had been caught up in a scheme of lies to his own father Jacob, that he might gain the blessing? He had taken the advice of his scheming mother, and he had gone to his father and pretended to be Esau. Well, now this was boomeranging back on him, and it was now hurting Jacob greatly. You see, sin always hurts. Lies and deceit are terrible things, and they should be totally repented of by every Christian. And we should only speak the truth at all times. And so now, Jacob had two wives. He had Leah and he had Rachel. And in total, Jacob had 12 children. Now listen to the list. He had 6 children that were born to Leah, 2 more that were born to Leah's handmaiden Zilpah, 2 children were born to Rachel. They were Joseph and Benjamin. And then another 2 were born to Rachel's handmaiden, Bilhah. Now note that Rachel was always his favorite. His special love was set upon Rachel. And therefore, her 2 sons, Joseph and Benjamin, they were Jacob's favorites. And you only have to think about Joseph wearing the coat of many colors. And by that means, Jacob was displaying his tremendous love for Joseph. And of course, Benjamin, well, he was the baby in the family. And he was also treated very special. Now, do you see how the Bible records people's sins as well as their strengths? The Bible always gives a true picture of people's words and of their deeds. And the Lord Jesus said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's in Matthew 12, verse 36. And did you know that God is recording your life? Do you know what sins he has on record against you? And that when you tell a lie or deceive or break the law of God in any other way, God sees it, God records it. And on the judgment day, you will give account for every wrong word and for every wrong deed. And if you want to know your true state before God, just read the Bible. Because the Bible is like a mirror. When you look in the mirror, you see a true picture of yourself. Now, it is inverted. It's changed around a little bit, right, left, and right, and all that. But that is a true state of you. Your cleanliness or your dirt. Your shagginess or your nicely groomed appearance. That mirror tells no lies. And the Bible will give you the truth of the real you, who you are, and how you stand in the sight of God. And so God has recorded everything about you. And that's why the stain of sin needs to be washed away. And do you know that only the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to wash you and make you as white as snow? Now, this is the good news of the gospel. I want you to listen to the words of the Lord. And here is the Lord speaking. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's Isaiah 1:18, and I want to preach on that text in the service this morning. And you need to know that your sins can be washed away. Though you may be guilty of terrible sins, you can be made as white as snow in God's sight. And I want you to think of Martin Luther's illustration of the beautiful cleansing and white righteousness the Lord Jesus gives to every one of his people. He said that Jesus' righteousness is like a fresh fall of snow upon a dunghill. Now, the dunghill is where all the filth of the animals is piled up, and it's nauseating just to look at it. But when it's covered in a fresh fall of snow, it looks so pristine and pure. When God looks upon a sinner that has been washed in Jesus' blood, you appear in God's eyes as white as snow. Now that's the wonderful, wonderful good news of the gospel. Now I have to ask you, how do you stand before God? When he looks upon you, does he see the black sin in your life? Or does he look upon you and see the white, pure, clean righteousness of Jesus that makes you as white as snow? Now, that's possible when you are washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. When you put your faith on Jesus' death at the cross, the blood that he shed, the price he paid, when you trust in that and say, Lord, wash me, then you have the assurance that you stand before God as white as snow. And if you do that today, you will know the joy of being in the right place at the right time to meet the right person. Because every Christian can say of their salvation, I was in the right place, I was there at the right time, and I met the right person, the Lord Jesus. That's every Christian's testimony.